Seth Grossman just asked me if I could just announce that it's, it's his wife's grandmother's 25th year. It's at Ribbetson, Basia Tights. Basia Bas Rebbe Loza Meir Ofrina. I'll be in a moment, he's announced. Okay. Okay, beginning a new sugya. We take a little bit of a detour off of Hilchos Sukkah for a moment, but not for too long. Only because the Gemara raises a question which touches on something we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks, and that's the din of Lishma by Sukkah. So just to recap for a moment, back to the Sukkah angle of the sugya before we get to the part that we start today. There was a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel whether Sukkah has to be built Lishma or not. We know that there are many chavatzim shel mitzvah that have to be done Lishma. Talk about more of them as we go on in the sugya, but sukkah was the subject of machlokes b'shamay beis hillel, and the Gemara now raises the question: according to the view of beis hillel, that a sukkah does not have to be made lishma. How does that fit into other chafatzim, other kinds of objects and mitzvahs that presumably do have to be made lishma? Are they the same? Are they different, etc.? So that's what the Gemara raises the question. And the first Rambam comes at the top, top of the page. Sukkah daf tesemirav. Yes, the Gemara Beis Hillel leis to Rav Yudah Marav. Does Beis Hillel disagree with the famous statement of Rav Yudah Marav? It's almost a little bit of a strange way of formulating the question. It's almost like what happened to Rav Yudah Marav? Did they disagree with Beis Hillel? But I think we all understand what the Gemara's question really was. That the bottom line is that Beis Hillel's presentation that a sukkah need not be built the Shema.
Participants are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
Doesn't seem to fit into the statement of Rav Yudah Marav. What did Rav Yudah Marav say? Tell me, Rav Yudah Marav. Asa min ha-kotzin, or min ha-nimin, or min ha-gardin psula. If a person makes tzitzis from one of the following things, the kotzin, the nimin, and the garden, so it's puzzle. Now, I'm already going to give a disclaimer. If I bumped into kotzin, nimin, and garden, I wouldn't show what they are. There are different types of strings. We'll see as we go on, major machlokes and mishonim, without getting into the details of what they are as to why exactly there's a problem. But these, for some deep dark secret, these strings are not acceptable for the purposes of tzitzis. However, the Gemara continues, min ha-sisin k'shera. But if they're made from sisin, then they would be kosher. So again, just as I didn't know quite what the first three are, not yet committed what the fourth one is. Ki amrisa kamei de Shmuel amali. When this is Rav Yehuda speaking. Rav Yehuda was a Talmud of both Rav and Shmuel. First he was a Talmud of Rav, and Rav passed away. He came to Shmuel. So Rav Yehuda is recounting that in the early years he used to say in the name of Rav, that the first three types of strings are possible, but the sisin are kosher. When he came in front of Shmuel, Shmuel told him, amali af min ha-sisin ami psula. Even the sisin apostle. So again, we're very much in the dark about what the details of these strings are. But the only thing that's the light for us right now is the ba'inan tevi'a lishma. The punchline of this entire discussion is that the spitting of the tzitzis strings has to be done lishma. There's a principle of tevi'a lishma. So again, the details, we're not sure what they are, but they're pointing in the direction of tevi'a lishma. So too the Gemara says, if in Hilchos Tzitzis the halacha requires making the tzitzis lishma, so too the making of the tzitzis of the sukkah should be lishma as well. So to that the Gemara says, no, you can't compare, you can't mix apples and oranges. Just because there's a din of tzitzis lishma doesn't necessarily indicate a din of sukkah lishma. How do you know? Shani Hasam says the Gemara. There's a gzeres akosu by tzitzis. Gedilim tasa l'cha. L'cha is a lashon l'shma. Almost like v'chas of law by a get means l'shma. So tzitzis has to be made l'shma. By sukkah, presumably, there's no such pasuk. He asks the Gemara, really? By sukkah, there's no such pasuk. Hachanami chaka sukkah tasa l'cha l'cha l'shma. Same pasuk, the same word l'cha. So if l'cha teaches me l'shma by tzitzis, it should teach me l'shma by sukkah. Back to square one, what is the difference between the view of Beis Hillel that do not require a sukkah to be lishma, in contrast to tzitzis that clearly do? The Gemara says, no, still there's a difference. That pasuk by sukkah does not require lishma. That's coming to disqualify a stolen sukkah. So lecha means you can't steal the sukkah. So yes, the Gemara, So the Marshach, if you think that the word l'cha is the source to exclude stolen goods, so they should use that same pasuk when it comes to tzitzis as well. And then we don't have a pasuk left to teach us l'shma. It says, no, pasuk sim kwa chari va asu lahem ishalem. By tzitzis it says l'cha, lahem, twice. One time comes to exclude stolen goods, and the other time comes to teach us that it has to be made l'shma. So when all the dust settles in the sugya, it's clear as day, one thing from the sugya, that this is all psukim, all gzeirah kasuv. If there's a gzeirah kasuv to exclude, to require l'shma, then great. Then there's a bit of l'shma, and if not, not. So whereas Beis Shammai thought there was an added pasuk, Beis Shammai had a special additional pasuk, so to speak, to teach me l'shma, Beis Hillel's lining up the psukim didn't end up that way. And therefore Beis Hillel says that if there's no pasuk, then there's no din. In contrast to tzitzis, where there is such a din. So it's pretty clear from at least the way the Gemara presents stuff here, that the din of l'shma exerts a kasuv. So you can't really ask conceptually why one place one another. That's the way it is. One case, there is a pasuk, one case, there's not a pasuk. So what interests us now is all the part that we glossed over quickly, the three different kinds of strings, the kotsin, the neman, the gardin, or the fourth one, the sisin. What is going on? What does this have to do with anything? How does this indicate yes l'shma, no l'shma? That really begins to create the background for our sugya as to what do the words mean, asiyas tzitzis l'shma. So everybody seems to buy into it, or at least this stage of the Gemara seems to buy into the idea of making tzitzis l'shma. What exactly does that mean, and what are these categories, what is this all about? So, as we've said already many times, I apologize for not having the Rashi's printed out. The Maram Kovetz are written for the boys, originally written for the boys in the yeshiva. So for the boys in the yeshiva, it's understood that they're going to read every Rashi on the Gemara. But maybe next year after Maram to rectify that at some point. So Rashi on the Gemara fills you in as to what exactly is going on between the lines of the Gemara. Rashi explains to you, what are those mysterious kotzin, neman, and gerudin? Rashi says what they mean is as follows. Very often on a garment, so there are strings that are almost like hanging out at the edge of the garment that weren't made, they weren't connected to the garment for the purposes of tzitzis at all. The person's making himself a woolen garment. So part of the, you go to the weavers, there's a string loose over here, there's a thread loose over here, this thing was there. They were put onto the garment, they were connected to the garment as part of the process of making the beged. But the person, in no shape or form, had any in mind that that's going to turn around and become the tzitzis strings. They weren't what Rashi calls, they didn't have tliyas achutun l'shma. They weren't connected to the garment l'shma. So that's exactly what the kutzin, neman, and gardin are. They're all three different examples of different types of strings that were put on the garment, in a sense, unintentionally. And Rav is telling me that you can't turn around one day and say, oh, by golly, look at those strings. Gee, they happen to be in the right place. They're just sitting on the edge of the garment. Well, hocus pocus, these are my sets of strings. So Rav says, forget it. You know why that's forget it? Because you required Taliyas Hatzitzis L'shma. Taliyah meaning the hanging, literally the connecting of the strings to the beged, has to be done L'shma. So if you would carry that over to our type of baking tzitzis, what that would mean is, I have a beged, I have four holes in my beged, I take my strings, I have to stick the strings into the beged L'shma. That's the Iker Din of Taliyas Chutun L'shma. And that's what Rav said. However, Rav said, if you make him in a Sisin Kshir, what a Sisin? So Rashi explained, Sisin are balls of thread, they're thread, they're strings that weren't made per se for the purposes of tzitzis. When you spun the wool, you didn't make it for the purpose of tzitzis. They just happen to be a ball of thread. They have to be a ball of they have to be a bunch of strings. So Rav says, great, no problem. You could take these pre-existing strings that weren't manufactured l'shem for the purpose of tzitzis, but just make sure to connect them to the beged l'shma, that's perfectly okay. So according to Rashi, what Rav is saying, Rav is comparing and contrasting the taliyah sachutin, which for sure has to be made l'shma, and that's why the kutzin, neman, gardin, which were there from before, are not acceptable. In contrast to the sisin, which where the taliyah was done l'shma, the only potential deficiency was that the strings themselves weren't spun l'shma. Rav says that doesn't concern me, that doesn't interest me. And it's that second point that Shmuel disagreed with. When Rav Yehuda came to Shmuel, Shmuel says, even from the sea, it is possible. Why? Because Shmuel was of the opinion, that's what the Gemara says, that Ba'inam Tvi'a Lishma, that you require Tvi'a Lishma, that even the spinning of the strings, even the pre-connecting, even the manufacturing of the strings a month before you connect them to the baguette, that also has to be done Lishma. So it comes out according to Rashi that the point of contention, the Makudas of Machlaikas in Rav and Shmuel, is not a question, do tzitzis require l'shma? Everybody agrees that some aspect, some to some degree, The making of tzitzis has to be done l'shma. The machlekes in Rav and Shmuel is in a detail, is in a technicality, just how much of asiyas tzitzis has to be l'shma. According to Rav, only the tliyas achut, and that's the real asiyas tzitzis. Whereas according to Shmuel, not only the tliyas achut they need, but even the making of the strings themselves. So according to Rashi, the Gemara is now asking a question. Bein l'Rav, bein l'Shmuel, there's a din of l'shma b'tzitzis. So the Gemara is asking, wait a second, there's a din of l'shma b'tzitzis, why isn't there the parallel din of l'shma b'sukkah? To which the Gemara eventually concludes, one's a pasuk, one's not a pasuk. So according to Rashi, of course l'shma. Asiyas tzitzis l'shma, that's the name of Asugya, bein l'Rav, bein l'Shmuel. The machlokes was in technical, in just in gradations, just which stage along the way require asiyas tzitzis l'shma. That's how Rashi presents this. Okay. However, if you take a look at the Rambam in the second of the Mamakavos, it is clear that the Rambam disagreed. It's clear that the Rambam had an entirely different picture of the sugya. If you take a look at the second of the Mamakavos, so the Rambam writes in the Chassitzes Berach Af Loch Yedeis, Tzitzes she'asa also kusi posel. Tzitzes that were made by, here we're using the word kusi, but here kusi is just a, kusi was a census word. It really means a goy. It means any goy, any yachm, any nachri. Sometimes in the Rishonim, you'll see the word kusi thrown in. You got to wonder, why is the Rambam talking about Samaritans? So the answer is he's not. He's talking about goyim. But the goyim didn't like the word akum, so they threw the word kusi. But we all know what it really means. So tzitzes a kusi puzzle. Shinema dabel b'nei Yisrael. Also lehem tzitzes. How do I know that a goy can't make tzitzes? A goy can't make tzitzis because the Torah says b'nei Yisrael v'asur lahem tzitzis. So what does asiyas tzitzis mean? So asiyas tzitzis, we're not sure. Does that mean making of the strings? Does that mean connecting of the strings? Not quite sure yet. Aval says the Rambam in contrast. Avalim also so Yisrael below kavana k'sheira. However, if a person, a Jew, made tzitzis without kavana, i.e. not l'shma, not for the express purpose of tzitzis, that would be okay. Then the tzitzis would be all right. So the Rambam is teaching us two halachas. One is right based out of the Gemara. The Gemara says explicitly, if a goy makes tzitzis, that's a problem. And then the Rambam, his own chiddush, is saying, but if a Jew makes tzitzis, even though it wasn't l'shma, that's perfectly okay. The tzitzis are acceptable, not a problem. What aspect of a making tzitzis is the Rambam talking about? So it's clear from the context of the Rambam and other Rambam and tzitzis that he is talking about the tliyas achutin. He's talking about the connecting of the strings to the beged itself. That need not be made l'shma. Now, according to the Rambam, if that need not be made l'shma, then we have a big problem, because then we have no idea what Rav was talking about. The way Rashi learned Sukkah Daf Test, it came out, everybody agrees the tliyas achut and the connecting of the strings to the beged has to be l'shma. That was not negotiable. The machlokes Rav and Shmuel was, there's an early stage of spinning the wool also have to be l'shma. According to the Rambam, we just turned the sugya on its head. According to the Rambam, there never ever was even a dream of requiring tliyas achut and l'shma. So if you don't require tliyas achut and l'shma, so back to sukkah daftas. So what was wrong with the sitz? What was wrong with the kutzin nimen and gradin, etc.? So what was the problem? So if you take a look at the Shulchan Aruch and the third of the Mamakamos, so Shulchan Aruch gives his own interpretation as to what's wrong with those three different types of strings. So the Shulchan Aruch even tells you what they were. Ain osin atzitzios me'atzemer hanechas bekotzim kishatzon rotzim b'neihem. You're not allowed to make tzitzis out of wool, that the wool got stuck with thorns when the sheep are running around free on the farm, so they sometimes rub against thorns. So if you have some thorns that get stuck into the wool, you can't use that wool for tzitzis. One thing I can tell you for sure, this has nothing to do with Rashi's coats of Neiman and Grudden. Rashi was talking about that thread that was left that was put onto the edge of the beged. We're not even talking about that. And then he says, and you can't use wool that gets almost like little strings of wool that gets plucked off the animal. Or other kinds of inferior quality kinds of wool that the weavers leave behind. What is wrong with all these three types of wool? Says the Shulchan Aruch. These are all not a nice way of making tzitzis. These are all a bizayon to the mitzvah. It's all a disgrace. This is how you make tzitzis. That it's all a chisard of bizayon mitzvah. So according to the Rambam, I can tell you what these three cases are not a case of. They're not a requirement of. They have nothing to do with the Shema, which is rightfully so, says the Rambam, because there never ever was a din of Lishma on Tliyas Achutim. So now let's go back to the Gemara in Sukkah Daf Tes and read the Gemara through the eyes of the Rambam and by extension through the eyes of the Shulchan Aruch. So asks the Gemara back to the same Gemara we started off with. Gemara number one. Ubeis Hillel leis to Rav Yehuda Marav. Do Beis Hillel deny Rav Yehuda Marav? The Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, Asam in a Kotz Be'anim in a Gradim Psula. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, the making of tzitzis out of these kinds of strings is not acceptable. Has Rav Yehuda Marav said a word about Lishma yet? Not a mention, not a Zeich of Lishma. Why are these three things possible? Because they're all a violation of Bizoy Mitzvah. That's the reason why it's possible. Min HaSisin, what about making tzitzis from tzitzin? What is tzitzin? So we know what tzitzin are. Rashi already told us, the Rambam agrees to that. Tzitzin means that strings that were manufactured, that were prepared, not lishma. The strings themselves weren't made lishma. So Rav says, Sheira. Rav says, what's wrong with that? Rav says, there is no din of lishma but tzitzis. Unlike Rashi, who said that even Rav agrees there's a din of lishma, Rav was just debating the gradation. When does a din of lishma kick in? Does it kick in at an earlier stage or later stage? According to the Rambam in the Shulchan Aruch, there is no mention in Rav Shita of anything under the sun about lishma. Kutzin, Gmidin, Grad, and Apostle for a totally different reason because of Bizei Mitzvah. And the one case that would have potentially been an issue of lishma, Rav says is all right. Now, when Rav Yehuda came to Shmuel, Shmuel told me, Afbin Asisin Ami Psula, that Sisin are also apostle. Why? Debaina and Tvil Lishma. Because you require Tvil Lishma. According to the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch reading the Gemara, who is Mechadesh that did of Lishma Betzitzis? Only Shmuel. So now it comes out, just in terms of the text of the Gemara, who is the Gemara asking a question? Why are we learning Hichos Tzitzis? Now we're learning Masechah Sukkah, because we're comparing and contrasting Sukkah to Tzitzis. So according to Rashi's Shran, the Gemara, we are comparing and contrasting Tzitzis according to everybody. Bein L'Rav, Bein L'Shmuel. Both Rav and Shmuel buy into the requirement of Lishma, albeit they disagree with the nuances, the technical details, how much Lishma, when do you need Lishma, but they both accept the basic principle of Lishma, to which the Gemara is questioning, oh really? If there's a din of Lishma with Tzitzis, what happened to Sukkah? According to the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, the Gemara is not asking Kasha from Rav, the Gemara is asking Kasha only from Shmuel. Rav is in sync with Sukkah. According to Rav, we have no problem. But according to Shmuel's Chiddush, that there is a din of Lishma B'Tzitzis. Nobody ever heard of Lishma B'Tzitzis until Shmuel was Mechadesh it. So now the Gemara is asking Kasha, wait a second, how could there be a din of Lishma B'Tzitzis if there's no din of Lishma B'Sukkah? That's the question of the Gemara. So it's a different question than Gamrei. It's a totally different question. Now down the line, it's going to impact on Psach Halacha, because according to the Rambam's Pshat in the Gemara, it's clear the Gemara is only focusing on Shmuel. That seems to put Shmuel up on a pedestal, seems to support Shmuel. Maybe Shmuel's talking the Psach Halacha based on this. But again, we have a while to go until we get to that point. So we have a major machlokes in the Rishonim as to what was the problem with the Kotz and the Neiman and the Grodin. Was that a chisarn of Lishma, of Tliyas HaTzitzis? Or, according to the Rambam, that was a chisarn of Bizei Mitzvah?
Rabbi, the fact that the answer here in the Gemara and Sukkah Daf Tes hasn't everything to do with Lishma or not Lishma, and nothing to do with Bizei, doesn't that prove that the question is also a question of Lishma?
Yeah, the question was definitely Lishma, but the question was, the issue was the question only from Shmuel's edition of Tevi Lishma? What was the Gemara's question from the entire sugya, the statements of Rav as well? Well, there's no question Shmuel says there's something about Lishma. The only reason they disqualified the Sisin is only because of Lishma. The question, the Machlekes Rashi and Rambam is, what about the first three cases? Is that a Lishma issue or is that a Bizei Mitzvah issue?
And everyone agrees that the Sisin is
Rashi's. Yeah, I think so, yeah. So now, Kebelon de Balamor, the fourth of the Rambam Kamos, and had an entirely different shot in the Gemara. In terms of Mahalik of the sugya, it's closer to the Rambam. But whereas the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch had this idea that the first three cases are possible because of Bizei Mitzvah, the Balamor had a totally different approach. Cakes, legal the Balamor on the fourth of the Ramakamos. It's the two lines at the bottom. Vitam hakutzin vagarden vanimen shepsum deviagoyim alivu derav. Nothing to do with Lishma and nothing with Bizei Mitzvah. Why the apostle? Mishum deva'inan tzitzis hakanaf min kanaf. The ain gimel minim halal ruim lasos be ambega chem solus at seba ve ambega nasos be kabosan. From left field comes the Balamor and says, these three types of strings, these types of wool are disqualified for a totally different reason, because go try to weave a baguette out of these kinds of wool. These kinds of wool are inferior quality wool, and just you can't do it. It's not going to work. You won't be able to make a baguette out of it. So who cares? I'm not making a baguette. I'm trying to make strings. I'm not trying to make an entire baguette out of it. Says the Balamor that the only type of material that can be used to make sets of strings has to be a type of material that one could theoretically make a baguette out of. And since these three kinds of materials just are not going to do the trick, the weavers are telling you, we can't do it, it's just not going to work, it's not going to make a proper baguette, therefore they are disqualified from being used for tzitzis rings. Not because of bizei mitzvah, nothing to do with bizei mitzvah of the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, nothing to do with the Shema of Rashi. It's a brand new psul called, the Baal HaMor references it, he says, HaKanaf Min Kanaf. You have to make strings out of something that could be the garment, could be the corner of the garment itself. The Baal HaMor is a Hilikatana. Where the Baal HaMor? The Baal HaMor is a Rishon. It's Dashlim Tzuch. Where did he come from? So the answer is the Baal HaMor is assuming that we picked up his thief. We picked up the hint that he dropped. There's a Gemara that talks about a Kanaf bin Kanaf. The Baal HaMor didn't make it up. There's a Gemara in Masechah Shabbos and Masechah Menaches that has such a drasha called Kanaf bin Kanaf in the following context. There is a Machloikes HaTanor, which actually throw back to this week's parasha. When the Torah says that you have to put tzitzis on Begodim, the question becomes, what's called a beged? What kind of material is necessary to be labeled as a beged? So one Tana was of the opinion, based on this week's Pasha, the Torah speaks about, by nige begodim, by a nege tzaras and a beged, the Torah speaks about the beged semer or the beged pishtim. The Torah speaks about wool, I didn't say wool and linen, again, that's a bad beged, we wouldn't want to call it a beged, wool or linen, either tzemer or pishtim. The Gemara quotes the Tana of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel's opinion was, that kamokam shnemer b'teira beged stam, whenever the Torah speaks about the word beged in any area of halacha and doesn't say anything to the contrary, stam beged amabat Torah is tzemer opishtim, and therefore, according to Rabbi Shmuel, the mitzvah tzitzis are konfivik deyem, means dafka wool or linen. If you have a cotton beged, according to Rabbi Shmuel, that's not chayv and tzitzis, but a Torah for sure not. That's the view of Rabbi Shmuel. If anyone happens not to be wearing a wool beggar, don't feel bad, because the Gemara says that even according to Rishmol, it's still chayim midrabanim. So it's not a bracha batal, it's just only a mitzvah derabanim. That's according to Rabbi Shmuel. Comes the other Tanoim, and comes Rava, who disagrees with Rabbi Shmuel. Comes Rava and says, no, we don't follow Rabbi Shmuel, says Rava. We paskin that for the purposes of tzitzis, other begadim are also acceptable. How does Rava know that? So Rava says, based on the following drasha. The Torah gives us almost two different, almost contradictory impressions as to what kind of material are good for the mitzvah of tzitzis. On the one hand, the Torah says, Gedilim tasalcha, later on in Parshas Kiseitzei, in the context of tzemru pishtim. The Torah says, Lo soba shatnes, tzemru pishtim yachtav, Gedilim tasalcha. The Torah speaks about shatnes, and in the same breath it talks about tzitzis. So comes Rav and says, that teaches us that tzemru pishtim, those are the begadim that the Torah is addressing, so you have to make a beged for the purpose of tzitzis instead of either tzemer or pishtim. On the other hand, in Parsha Shlach, the Torah says, "Vasu lahem tzitzis akanfei v'gdeyem u'derosav v'nosnuva tzitzis hakanaf psil techeles." The Torah speaks about hakanaf psil techeles. It speaks about that you put the tzitzis on the kanaf. The Torah seems to be connecting the strings of the tzitzis together with the idea of the kanaf of the beged. What does that mean? So Rava comes with an entire drasha, very, very complicated drasha. Rava says as follows. Says that what the Torah is telling us is that there are two different methods for making tzitzis. There are two completely different parashas, so to speak, as to what material the strings can be made of. According to, in a sense, Parshas Kiseitzei, if you follow the rules of Parshas Kiseitzei, so then the Torah says, tzemru pishtim. Everything is tzemru pishtim. The Torah is not misyachas. You can't make cotton strings, you can't make silk. Everything's got to be tzemru pishtim. On the other hand, if you open up Parshas Shlach, you realize that the Torah is not so machbid. That has to be dafka tzemru pishtim. Hakanaf psil techeles. Whatever it is. Whatever the beged is made of, it's okay. If you have a cotton beged, you can make cotton strings. A silk beged, make silk strings. So what's going on? What is it? Are we dafka in the Parsha of Kiseitzei of tzemru pishtim? Or do we open up the possibility for other kind of a begadim as well? So comes Rav and says, the answer is, it's not a contradiction. The two psukim are complementing one another. The Torah is giving you two different pictures, two different sides of the same picture of the mitzvah of tzitzis, in the following sense. If you want to use wool or linen strings, tzemru pishtim potim b'chol davar. It doesn't matter what the beged is, if you have tzemer or pishtim, those are for sure good to be used in any shape or form, any kind of beged. However, if you want to use cotton strings, then it depends. If you have a cotton beged, then a cotton strings are good. If you have a silk beged, then silk strings are good. But if you have a cotton beged and you want to use silk strings, that's not going to work. Because that's nish tzemru pishtim, nish mid kanaf, that's no good. So the Torah is telling you two different models, you two tracks, how to fulfill the mitzvah tzitzis. You want to go down this track of tzemru pishtim strings, because they... You could use several pishtim strings for silk, for cotton, for wool, you name it, several pishtim are good. If you want to use other kinds of materials, then you have to be much more careful. You have to stick to HaKadaf bin Kadaf. That's Rava Shita. It comes out, according to Rava, that the Torah is accepting the possibility of other begodim being minchayim in a Torah. According to Rabbi Shmuel, this drasha doesn't make sense. How can you formulate this drasha according to Rabbi Shmuel? According to Rabbi Shmuel, there is no model of shar begodim. So there's a clear machlekes ha-Torah, machlekes ha-Maroim. What is the bottom line? In order to be chayv in tzitzis bin haTorah, do you need wool or linen, or all other begodim acceptable? It's a machlekes in the Shulchan Aruch. What the din is, the Shulchan Aruch follows the view of Rabbi Shmuel, because that's on the riff of the Rambam Paskin. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says, that one is only chayv in haTorah with either wool or linen. For technical reasons, we don't make linen bizman hazeh, not relevant right now. So for us, says the Shulchan Aruch, if you want to be yotzei tzitzis bin haTorah, you only have one option. The one option is you have to have wool. If you have any material from any other material, midrabbanan, it's okay. It's not a bracha levatola, but you're not fulfilling the tzitzis d'araisa. And the Rama disagrees. The Rama quotes from Rashi and Taizim the Rashi, all the Chachmei Ashkenaz, who paskin like Rava, who said, no, that we paskin bracha levatola, that any kind of material would be acceptable, provided that either you used wool strings or you used the strings from that particular material itself. What you can't do, even according to the Ramos, you can't have a cotton bag and then turn around and use silk strings. That wouldn't be acceptable. So many people who wear cotton begodim, so they wear wool strings. On the market today, there are no other strings that are made. Nobody makes strings out of cotton or silk. All the strings are made out of wool. So therefore, according to the Shulchan Aruch, if you're wearing a woolen baguette to fulfill the mitzvah d'araisa, so you're wearing woolen strings, according to the Ramah, you're fulfilling the mitzvah d'araisa with cotton baguette, you're also wearing woolen strings. And even according to the Shulchan Aruch, it's not a bracha levatola, because at least with the Rabbanan, you would be chayav. That's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes, that many Echmerim would say, if all else is equal, you have a choice between fulfilling tzitzis d'araisa, according to everybody, or tzitzis, which is a machloikes, so why don't you go for the best, go for the tzitzis d'araisa. Therefore, the Mishnah Berurah recommends a person should wear a woolen bag. It's not a chiyuv, it's just a recommendation from the Mishnah Berurah. That way you don't have to rely on any shahs, you have to rely on any machloikes. That's why the Mishnah Berurah recommends to wear dafka woolen bag. And others disagreed with the Mishnah Berurah. They say that the Gra wore a cotton bag. It's not 100% clear because the Gra also wore talis gadol all day, so it's hard to tell, you know, what that means. Therefore, but the Gra wore a cotton. Others chazanish, they wore cotton. Others wore of cotton begadim. They feel that we paskin like the Ramah finished. That's it. Clear cut psach like the Ramah. There's nothing to discuss, and we don't have to be chayish for the Shulchan Aruch. But the Mishnah Berurah does quote that one should try to be chayish for the Shulchan Aruch if one can. If one can do so.
On Shabbos is a different chiyuv as far as wearing.
It doesn't make a difference on Shabbos either, because the only reason why you can't wear pusl tzitzit on Shabbos if there's no Erev, because then you're running into a carrying issue. But the tzitzit is even cotton and not pusl, even according to Shulchan Aruch, it's not called carrying because you're fulfilling the mitzvah. There are bottom of tzitzit. So with this background, the Baal HaMor now makes reference to that Gemara. The Baal HaMor says, just as we find in Shitas Rava that there's a connection between the beged and the strings, that the material has to be equivalent, so too, that's the reason why the Kutzin, Neiman, Garden, all these strings are off limits, because these are kinds of strings that, even though they're wool, they came from a sheep, but they're not the type of wool that could be used to make a beged out of. So that's also a deficiency of a kanaf bin kanaf. That's quite a chiddush in the Baal HaMor. How come nobody else said that? How come Rashi didn't learn that pshat? How come the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch didn't learn that pshat? Because the Yemen says it's a tremendous chiddush in the Baal HaMor. The only time the Gemara uses the principle of a kanaf bin kanaf was only in the context of material, namely, is it wool or is it cotton? The Baal HaMor is saying, even though I've identified, I'm in the right material, but I don't have, in a sense, the right material. I don't have the highest type of material. The fact that you need a material that can be made into a beged of this type doesn't say that anywhere in the Gemara. So the Baal HaMor didn't make up the idea of a kanaf and kanaf. He took it out of the Gemara, but he still took it and he extended it significantly. There is a machlekes in Rishonim, just how far this hakanaf bin kanaf goes. In the Gemara itself, the only absolute clear application is Rava's application. Namely, if you have a cotton beged, you might have cotton strings, or wool is for sure good. But if you have cotton beged, cotton strings. The Baal HaMor took it and extended it to high quality material necessary to make a beged, high quality material necessary to make strings. There were some Rishonim who went even one step further, who said in Maseches Menachos in the fourth parak that whatever color the beged is, that's the color that the strings have to be as well. That's already a chiddush or gabi chiddush. You have a purple beged, you have purple strings. You have an orange beged, you have orange strings. Otherwise, it's the chizon of a kanaf bin kanaf. So that already is a big chiddush. The Shulchan Aruch Taka quotes that opinion. The Ramah says, we don't pass like that. We pass in that at kanaf lo yosef. A kanaf bin kanaf is going on materials, not going on color. We had this shaila a couple of years ago, the summer when. when we were in Eretz Yisrael, and someone, there was a war was going on, so they we got a request from the army to provide about 500 pairs of tzitzits for some of the soldiers at the front lines. So some fellow from Yerushalayim came in a truck at 2 o'clock in the morning and dumped a bunch of begodim and strings and told the 200 guys in Antisla call to make them in the next hour or two. So the issue was they dafka needed these begodim because they were green begodim. They needed camouflage begodim. So they didn't provide us with green strings. They only provided us with green begodim and white strings. So I gave a whole shiur as to why that was okay. That we paskin like the Rama. According to the Shulchan Aruch, it's a problem. You can't make, if you need green begodim, you gotta have green strings. So we're a maker like the Ikra didn't like the Rama, that the dinim in kanaf only carries over to the type material, doesn't carry over to the color of the begad.
Rabbi, so the epitome of the mitzvah is techeles, which is a different.
Right. No, I'm saying, but techeles, the according to those who show them say you need the right color, they would say as follows: if you have a green begad, so you have to put green strings and then a blue string for techeles. Or if you have a yellow begad, you have to have yellow strings and then you have to throw in a blue string for techeles. So we're only being done on the lavan shabbat. So we usually think of lavan as being white because apogonim is usually white. But according to some opinions, it would be necessary. The Mishnah Berurah quotes that even though an abrogatum, any of us have stripes, or a talus, have stripes, a talus, cotton, have stripes, that doesn't mean that. It's still called the white beggar. It's not called a black beggar. It's still called the white beggar. Anyway, so again, getting back to that story. So we have
people said that if you don't think the chayas is the right color, and then so you're putting on the chayas is not the right color, so then you might have a problem not having the strings being the same clip.
Right, the only problem is the Gemara says, Beferish, it's not a problem. That's right. The only thing. The Gemara says, if you put on Techeles and it turns out it wasn't authentic Techeles, the Gemara says, no big deal. It's still kosher anyway. Lo yehel a kala ilan. So it's a Beferish. It's an actual Torah, but it's against the Gemara. Anyway, so just quickly, so sum up back again. So the bottom line is that we're trying to figure out, is there a din of Lishma b'titzta na? So according to Shmuel, for sure there is, and that's why the Gemara asked the question. We're still unclear whether Rav concedes to that also. According to Rashi, Rav also buys into Lishma to some degree. According to the Ram and the Balamor, nothing's here. There was no mention within the view of Rav. So if we get to Shema on Friday, we'll have to go back to see how all this plays out in terms of the Shach Matar of Agamara and how this is eventually going to connect back to Tzitzit, back to Sukkot.